Welcome to Three, Two Comics, Three Topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. We're going to be talking later about, again, this will be the third time we're talking about Brian's nemesis.
Would be nemesis, I would say, perhaps.
I think he was described as Brian's nemesis in the past, so that's what he'll be. We're also going to be talking about a football player that is worse than any football player in America. However, the first topic, and it's of course it's the gag of the week, is Kellyanne Conway's remark about microwave ovens. I believe it was on a Today Show interview. She was talking about the different ways that a person could be watched by the CIA or other security agencies, and she said that that a microwave oven could be turned into a camera. Of course, this has delighted the people that want to depict the Trump administration as the biggest idiots that have ever held office, and it just spawned a fury of memes on the internet. The most common, of course, is some form of Obama peeking with binoculars or a camera through someone's microwave. Stephen Colbert, I guess, last night actually filmed his show through microwave ovens. They put microwave ovens over the cameras so that all the cameras were microwave ovens. The weird thing, what bugs about me is everybody gets confused. President Obama once said that he had been traveled to all 57 states. And what's happening, though, with this administration is when somebody makes a mistake like that, it just pounced on in a fashion that I have not seen before. Because the truth is, you can use microwaves to take someone's picture through the wall. If somebody is using a microwave oven, you, with the proper equipment, you can actually get a silhouette of the person through the wall. Also, ovens have Wi-Fi connections, as do refrigerators, and refrigerators even have cameras. So, I mean, it's not ridiculous to think that home appliances can be hacked into.
Counter-argument.
Okay.
Everyone is scrambling to try to make her nonsense be rational after the fact. It's like her alternative facts or the Bowling Green Massacre. She says stupid things, and then everyone has to try to sort of teleologically find a way that it always was pointing toward sense the whole time.
Well, you don't rise to a position, that kind of position, being the moron that people assume you are. It's, you know, did Obama think that there were 57 states? No, he misspoke. And that's, and everybody kind of assumed that then. Everyone, you know, there was no, I guess I was guilty of making jokes myself, but most people, I mean, in the course of things, the popular culture all just said, well, he just made a mistake.
But Kellyanne Conway has it's like credibility is an issue, and past isn't. If she didn't constantly say dumb things, if she wasn't constantly like alternative facts, it's really, I think the problem is that I don't think I don't think she's a smart person, but I don't think she's as stupid as – I do think you're right that the media in general – I mean, it's sort of stupid in a way to speak about the media like they're all together in a room. Like, well, what are we doing today, guys? At large, the media does follow sort of broad trends the way high schoolers do. Oh, I saw somebody wearing a green cap. I guess we're wearing green caps now. I better wear a green cap, you know?
Rush Limbaugh has a shtick that he does from time to time where he'll take things that the media says, and then he'll find like 12 different media personalities saying the exact same thing.
Of course, you can do the same thing with Rush and Sean Hannity.
Pardon?
You can do the same thing with Rush and Sean Hannity and all those talking points.
Yeah, but I mean, it's actual words. Like when George Bush, I think when he asked Dick Cheney to be his running mate, everybody, all of a sudden, the word gravitas entered the lexicon. Before that moment, no one really ever used gravitas, and it was, and he stuck. And this isn't, you know, this isn't like Rush and Sean Hannity, which are conservative opinion radio shows, you know. So I mean, that's a select group. I mean, these were newspaper people from all newspaper media people all over the spectrum, all different networks that are supposed to be independent. And it was, well, you know, Dick Cheney adds a certain gravitas. And just recently, when I'd have to look it up, but there was just something when they were talking about Obama, and there was a phrase that was over and over, exact phrase.
Although, yeah, I should probably sort of the same way you hear deep state all of a sudden. Sean Hannity said the word deep state, and then like three people I know thought they were geniuses by bringing up the words deep state to me on the same day. And I went back and Googled it. Oh, look, Sean Hannity used the word deep state last night.
Three people?
Yeah.
Or three media figures?
Kind of both. It was at a podcast studio.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, people that I know. It wasn't like I read. I mean, literally, people in conversation.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But if, you know, if all of a sudden David Muir says deep state, and then all of a sudden Lester Holt goes deep state, and then Chris Wallace goes deep state, and, you know, when it goes like that,
the media is a bit like birds in that way.
It does appear like, you know, it's like, you know, stop making it a thing. It's not going to ever be a thing. Gravitas became a thing.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that, like, it's interesting the way certain narratives in media take hold. Like, there's certain narratives you can tell people are pushing, but then sometimes they take hold, and I don't think anyone's pushing them per se. They just sort of come together. They just sort of form.
It's, well, you know, I also believe that the press, you know, the Washington press pool is kind of a clique. I think they hang out at the same bars.
Oh, yeah, especially, like you said, Washington press. It's different, like, if you're talking about, say, the people reporting on the state house in Idaho versus the state house people in Minnesota. But, yeah, the Washington people are of a part. But now everybody's fallen all over themselves trying to run back weird statements like Trump saying, well, I didn't mean they were literally wiretapping me, and I didn't mean it was literally Obama, but that's literally what he said.
Well, yeah, you've only got 140 words in Twitter, though.
Well, then maybe don't express yourself in such a limited format if what you're trying to say is complicated.
What he was saying was that the Obama administration had surveillance on him.
And I would also say
surveillance on his campaign.
Again, credibility gap. Again, same guy who said that Obama wasn't born here and flogged the birth certificate thing. I mean, we do take people's past recriminations into account. Serial liar Donald Trump made up a lie that no one in the DOJ can even come close to confirming.
But it was, I mean, come on, it was in the New York Times. It says right in the New York Times, it said that wiretaps confirm Trump associates contacting Russian agents. I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have it in front of me. But it said that's right in the New York Times.
That's very different than Obama sanctioned the wiretapping of Trump Tower. To say that.
Well, it actually says further in the article that all the reports were handed over to the White House.
That's not the same. Then why is it that James Comey says that was never a thing? What's Comey's angle? And by the way, so Obama's angle was, I'm going to wiretap Donald Trump. I'm going to find damning information on him. I'm going to sit on it quietly. I'm going to let him win, and then I'm going to retire.
I don't know.
I do not know.
This feels like a big
rhetorical stretch on your part. I got to say, it feels like you're going, you're seeing where the dots connect, and then you're going, but what if the dots go this way?
No, but I mean, there's dots. I mean, there was undoubtedly surveillance done on people in Trump's campaign. I mean, that's what anonymous sources are saying, right? That he had contact with the Russians.
I thought we didn't believe these anonymous sources just a couple of weeks ago.
Did I say that?
It could have been a different podcast. I was under a real big debate about whether or not I feel like the goalpost Trump the most masterful thing Trump's done is help us move the goalpost faster than everyone has. It's what are we talking about? Anonymous sources are either the most plausible thing or the least plausible thing. He either meant something literally or he didn't mean it literally. Nothing can stay fixed for more than half a second.
Well, it's the transcript on Mike Flynn was out there. The transcript that Mike Flynn had with the Russian agent. So I mean, what?
But
so
were they tapping Flynn or were they tapping the Russian agent?
Well, that's kind of important.
I agree.
It's because if they were tapping Flint, they had to have a warrant.
Agreed.
Uh-huh. So was there a warrant or were they just surveilling Flynn? Or what? And if they don't have a warrant, that recording is supposed to be destroyed and the name redacted. You can't just if a Russian agent talks with a U.S. citizen, you can't listen.
Really?
Yep.
I did not know that. Although I do know the second one. And on the final segment of Rule of Three, we're going to get to an encounter with a would-be nemesis of mine. But first, I always think it's sort of interesting, and I'm certainly not an apologist for America by any stretch, although I'm a fan of it. But we do some gross stuff. But sometimes I feel like we're so hard on ourselves that we imagine that the rest of the world is some pure place of moral clarity.
Well,
and
it's the typical thing that the grass is always greener. Everyone looks at the miseries that are just go along with everyday life, and they say there's got to be a place where this doesn't happen.
When it turns out that place, not Brazil.
No shock.
Yes, we go into understandable. By the way, I'm not saying this is wrong, but you know, when we find out that a football star got a DUI, we all oof. Should he be able to ever play football again? I don't know. You know, click click. Of course, also it depends often how good the football player is, whether or not we let him play again. and certainly, you know, you hear a lot about the scourge of domestic violence in the NFL, although I believe when you look up the conviction rates of NFL players versus just regular people, the answer so much isn't that the NFL is a cauldron of domestic violence. It's that, unfortunately, if you look at everybody close enough, the rates of domestic violence in this country are higher than you might like to think. But just to make us feel a little better about ourselves as Americans, in Brazil this week, a Brazilian soccer team re-signed a goalie named Bruno, and Bruno was convicted, not accused, but convicted of conspiring with friends to murder his ex-girlfriend, which he did, and then fed her to his Rottweilers. But he's back in the game. He served 7 years in prison. That's the prison sentence in Brazil for murdering your girlfriend in cold blood and feeding her to dogs. And
you know, if he is a goalie, you know, if you assume that the goalie of the homicide detectives is to find the body, he did keep it out of the goal.
I suppose he plays some kind of defense. My favorite part is they signed him to a 2-year contract. It wasn't even a 1-year, let's see if he murders anyone in the next year while he plays goalie. Let's go ahead and lock him down for 2 years. We don't want him to go somewhere else. Someone else will sign him away if we don't give him that 2-year contract. So he's playing for Boa Esporte. Now, the good news is, into Brazil.
A good goalie's hard to find. I mean, come on.
The team said that he deserves a new opportunity as a professional, that they have no relation with his past or personal actions. They only are hiring a professional. So it's basically like if OJ became a running back again in like 6 months.
Well, OJ was never convicted of murder, though.
That's true. That's a very fair point.
He was convicted of armed robbery.
He was convicted of stealing his own stuff. Which, by the way, he's going to probably get out next year or later this year even. They're saying October.
Yeah.
Well, because, I mean, and the sort of a I guess it's kind of related, but interestingly with OJ, you know, a lot of people, I've already seen a lot of hand-wringing going, how dare OJ be able to get out? Well, I mean, in fairness, the thing he was convicted of, he got really the most
the maximum
intense
yeah.
sentence for it you could get. And even with that sentence, he's due for parole. I mean, there's not a real – the only legal reason we have to keep OJ in jail is like, yeah, but we saw that documentary. We know you did it. And we do. I mean, I'm not casting any doubt. Oh, he did it, but – they didn't prove
do you think
it in court.
They did? Do you think they watched that docudrama in OJ's prison?
Oh, you gotta wonder if he watched it at least.
That's of course is the next question,
or the fictionalized version too. I guess even you know the
that's the one I mean, the one that's running on Netflix now. I'm wondering was that popular in prison when that was running? Did people want to watch it, or did they? You know, would they watch it? And then when OJ came into the TV room, they said, shut it off. Shut it off. He's here.
Or did they get like the world's most amazing director's commentary? No, what actually happened? I mean, as OJ said in his own book, if I did it, you remember the if I did it book, right?
Yeah.
Which I read.
So 7 years, is that is 7 years? That's the sentence for homicide in Brazil.
I mean, he got a longer sentence, but served seven of them. They let him out. 70, and it wasn't like she went missing, and they thought he was. You know, they convicted him of others. I mean, they convicted him of murder.
Premeditated?
Yeah, I believe so.
Wow. You know, it brings to mind that joke. It's an old joke where two guys are sitting on a park bench, and one just starts bawling his eyes out, and he goes, "What's the matter?" And he goes, "Do you remember a long time ago I said I would murder my wife, and you said don't do that, you'll go to jail for 20 years." He goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, I would have gotten out today."
I would have gotten. That's an old. I've never heard that.
Really?
No, I've never heard that one.
That's why I did the full I did the full run up on it. For our listeners that might not have heard that joke either, for our listeners that are probably much younger than that joke.
Yeah. Oh yeah. By the way, Brazilian goalie was released on a technicality. After he was he and nine other people
there's a flag dropped on the homicide.
The prosecutor used their hands, so they had to call it back. Yeah, Bruno, his lover and ex-wife were among nine people charged with torturing and murdering a woman who had been trying to prove he had fathered her son.
Nine people?
Yeah.
Oh my God, so it's like a Manson thing.
It's like a criminal conspiracy. Yeah.
No kidding. So what happened to the other eight?
Doesn't say here. Huh. I mean, it says they were convicted. I don't know if they're out too. But
that would really suck. That would there's a TV, there's a soccer game that you don't want to put on in the TV room.
Yeah. If you thought the OJ thing was awkward over in Sing Sing or whatever. Even 22
course,
years.
I'm assuming that there is a TV room in Brazilian prisons, of course.
Yeah. It was a TV hut. Man, 22 years, even as the sentence he got, seems awfully light, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he's supposed to get for criminal conspiracy. Oh, man. Everything about that.
But you know, you could probably even throw in animal abuse.
Yeah, I suppose you could.
especially if the woman was as awful as he told people.
Well, he said that some sponsors have dropped the club, which is good. But then they also showed some selfies people have taken around town with Bruno, excited to see him out and on their team.
Wow!
So the next time somebody's I was thinking the next time somebody gets all snooty and they're like, "Oh, you watch football? I watch football. It's a gentleman's game." You're like, "Oh, really? Wow." While we're on the subject,
yeah, you know, you think that would be more of a rugby thing.
Yeah, that does sound like a rugby kind of thing to do.
It does seem like you'd want a rugby player that did some time for murder.
I assume every rugby player is just waiting until he does time for murder.
I actually have a friend that's a rugby player, and he's gay.
Interesting.
It's yeah, and he doesn't. And his attitude is, I don't know. He goes, I don't know why more, you know, why more people aren't. It's
rugby players are gay.
why more homosexual men are not rugby players? Because it's kind of like foreplay.
Oh, it is a lot of. There's a lot of the scrum where they like kind of all hugging and pressing against each other and everything. That's interesting. You know, American football. You know, oh man, there's nothing. Some blowhard at a bar who thinks he's funny. You know, oh, you got a tight end and a guy's reaching under another guy's balls. You know, all the American football is gay. It's like, why watch a rugby match, buddy? It's basically hugging that turns into fighting that turns into hugging, which is a scene from Brokeback Mountain. Literally, thing that happens.
It's Pete Lee, a mutual friend of ours, had a funny post on Facebook. He said, "Is there somebody who could write me a dick joke that deals with snowfall?"
I don't get it.
Oh, just meaning that the you know, 12 to 14 inches expected is the most. Obvious joke that everyone's been to already. And it's the same thing with, hey, got a tight end, what's he do?
Right. So the lesson is, apparently, play rugby, not soccer, because you might have a gay dude hit on you a little bit in rugby, which is okay, but in Brazilian soccer, it's considerably more grim. Final segment of Rule of Three. We have a familiar. Can you have a familiar face return on a podcast? There's not really any faces in a podcast.
I guess so. I guess this person is the only person who has been on our show is much to Trump, second only to Trump.
Yeah,
is this? I think this person is now. I think there was someone else we mentioned twice, but this is the first. This will be three times. For this character, and
maybe it's like
we've yet to name him.
Oh, right. And well, you came up with a brilliant one.
Yeah, it's because in the last episode we were referring to him as Butter's alter ego, and if you're a South Park fan, you know that Butter's became an evil supervillain. And I had to look it up ashamedly, and found out that Butter's alter ego was Professor Chaos,
which is perfect. You sent me the picture with it too, and I was like, everything about this is perfect. This is more perfect than I remembered it even, right down to the blonde hair and the stupid voice. But
so a little recap for some of you that this might be the first episode you're listening to.
Yes,
is Professor Chaos originally booked you into a gig, I believe, or you were booked into a gig with Professor Chaos?
Yeah, I'd had some media interactions with Professor Chaos before under presumably friendly guys, right? I'm just doing my thing.
Well, that's the way they. That's the, you know, he's reading The Art of War.
Yes, yes, exactly. So I'm just like, yeah, I'll show up and talk, because I show up and talk when people ask me if I want to, and then he had a Professor Chaos had a falling out with some friends of mine, and when I didn't choose Professor Chaos in the divorce, apparently, Professor Chaos didn't take that well and declared vengeance upon me. This would be a fair way. I didn't know vengeance had been declared on me. I just went along with my business, and then Professor Chaos began his vengeance by smack talking me on stage at a gig we were doing together before I went on, which was an interesting choice. And then secretly recording my act, and then putting that act up on a podcast, which required me to contact a lawyer for a cease and desist letter. Podcast taken down. But now Professor Chaos is back.
Good thing you had that attorney in your utility belt, Batman.
Yes. Luckily, I do have an attorney on call, which is – actually, I have two attorneys on call, which is – I'm not a frequently sued person. So, but if I am, I got the guns. I got a U.S. attorney on my side and another fine fella.
And then the second time that the Professor Chaos showed up was when you did a benefit.
Oh, right. Yes, he actually
engaged the Facebook machine.
He paid for money.
He focused the Facebook machine on you and turned it on.
Yes, everyone's aunts and grandmas can now see what I'm up to on Facebook, which is, it's always funny. So I got called out for doing a benefit for Planned Parenthood like it was a big secret. The funny thing is I'm in no way rhetorically opposed to Planned Parenthood. I've never said as much. And I was promoting the show as well. So it was kind of like saying, it was like if someone said, did you know that Brian Miller is secretly married? It's like, you mean to that woman that he lives with who has the ring that matches his that he wears on his hand and he calls her five times a day? Is that the woman you're talking about? So, Professor,
not only did he put on Facebook that you were doing this benefit, he also paid money.
He paid more to promote the show than we did. We paid $0 to promote that show. We just did it by word of mouth. He paid at least $5 by my knowledge of Facebook, possibly more. So then last week I did a radio show, did a couple hours on the air, had a good time, back to my car, and I had a weird tweet from someone. I believe it's SkyTiger3737, if you're really eager to look him up on Twitter. And it's like, SkyTiger3737 is really angry about my participation in this benefit. Which is weird because, A, nobody else seemed to be, even when Professor Chaos tried to make this a big deal. And this was now like a month ago. And
so that's what it was. It was his profile picture is an egg.
Sky Tigers was like a picture of a tree. The others were eggs. I got some eggs. The eggs came later. So I was like, I saw this thing and I was like, huh, well, that's annoying. So I responded like, well, you know, yeah, I did that. I don't know why you're saying that's a thing. I have no idea. Well, you know, I basically responded,
Tigers will rain down from the sky.
Yeah. I was trying not to take
upon
it up to
you.
I was trying not to take it up to 11. I was just like, oh, hey, man. I mean, yeah, you can be mad, I guess, but here's what I did. Not realize what it was. And then the person responds to me, and I think all of a sudden the response, I'm like, wow, both of these sound almost exactly like the Facebook post. So then I say, and then I look up Sky Tiger's followers list. Well, what a coincidence. Sky Tiger follows like 20 people. It just so happens that those 20 people are me, three other people I work with that Sky Tiger hates, the President of the United States, and Professor Chaos. Professor Chaos followed himself on his own fake Twitter account. This is a person who brags about being in Mensa, I would like to point out.
Well, of course. That's why he's Professor Chaos.
Yes, exactly. He's not just Mr. Chaos. He's been tested. And so I'm like, this is obviously Professor Chaos. And so I say, even still trying to just be like, come on. And I said, like, come on, dude. I know this is you. Like, just chill, you know?
the foil mask is not, it's not fooling me.
Yes, exactly. Come on, Butters, I recognize your stupid voice. To which Professor Chaos, I think, must thinking, ooh, I've hooked him now, is like, Professor Chaos says, who do you think it is? You know, the call's coming from inside the house. I'm like, well, I can tell, you know, Professor Chaos probably thinks of himself more of a Heisenberg from Breaking Bad. In his mind, this is a say my name. And I'm just like, nah. So I did what I do with all chachas. I blocked him. Because why? I don't understand why people don't block more people on Twitter. When someone's an idiot, I'm like, all right, you're gone. So I blocked him on Twitter and didn't think much of it. Then went, did a show. Show went well later in the evening. Oh, and before the show, actually, I'm looking at my Twitter. I'm like, an egg follows me. And then I look to see the egg has just been created. Jeez, who do you think the egg follows? Holy smokes, that was fast. So then I block the egg, which was clearly a brand new account that had just been created. I go on stage. I come back. Another account has been created. And then since I have half an hour while the other comic is on stage doing his half of the show, I'm standing in the back of the room, and I just start scrolling through all of my Twitter followers And like lice, I start picking out these eggs and these randos that very conspicuously follow the same slate of people.
I think that's, by the way, I don't know if, could you hear the phone? I think that was Professor Chaos.
He might be calling, yeah. The red chaos phone is ringing.
You think I can't hear you?
Nothing escapes my hearing because I have no job and nothing else to do and I listen all the time.
That's my superpower. My joblessness is my superpower.
It is. His superpower is that he has so little to do that he can be an emotional kamikaze. That like he basically is like, I will waste 10 hours of my life to waste 1 hour of someone else's.
So he's kind of like a Time Lord. He can actually stop time. because we're everyone else of us, we have something to do.
Yeah.
He has nothing to do except make little eggs.
The irony of a capitalist who does nothing but try to disrupt people at work for free is also kind of fun. But yeah, you just can't get rid of this guy, and it's weird to be like obsessed over by a presumably non-gay man. I would be much more comfortable if it was a gay man because I'd be like, oh, he thinks I'm handsome. I get that. It's because I'm such a minor figure in this person's life. I can't imagine what Discord Professor Chaos tries to sow unless he actually thinks I'm his arch nemesis, which is actually the saddest thing of all, don't you think? Like, don't you imagine, Spider-Man's fighting the Green Goblin and he's all busy and then, like, the Shocker or the Vulture, some D-grade Spider-Man villains at his lair going, I bet Spider-Man's thinking about me right now. Yeah. No.
Or that you actually locate his lair and you break in and it's just some fat kid in the basement.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm not really a superhero. I just play one on the internet.
Making Spider-Man sucks eggs on Twitter and then throwing them out there.
And so that's the story so far. If you're out there, Professor Chaos, nice to have you listening.
Yeah, I feel like Professor Chaos is a listener. I feel like that's exactly the thing that Professor Chaos would do. The funny thing is, it's funny, you asked me if I had listened to any of his Professor Chaos's dispatches to see if I was coming up in them. And my point was, the worst thing he could do is trick me into listening to his stupid podcast. You're right, though. That would be the great trick.
And if you want to listen to ours, they're all available on my website, timslagle.com, or on iTunes.
Yep, or at Real Brian Miller on Twitter. I post them there, and on my website, brianmillercomedy.com.
See you next week.
See you next week.